You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vidrinska from Showtime, URN specialist musical theatre show, and you're listening to our podcast Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the latest theatrical news. Although I will say, we are moving slightly away from the traditional world of theatre this week, and instead we're looking more closely at the world of film. Because as this episode gets released, it's the Oscars tonight. And I'll be honest, it's not the sort of thing I would normally be talking that much about on Showtime or on Spotlight On. I mean, I love an award ceremony as much as the next person, and the Academy Awards were always an interesting one to watch, but it's not really the kind of theatre content you're expecting from Spotlight On, is it? But this year is slightly different, because I think it's safe to say that 2021 was the year of movie musicals. I mean, there were just so many coming out left, right and centre. And yeah, sure, some were definitely better than others, but the ones that were good were great. And it's even more brilliant to see that they are now being recognised at this year's Oscars. Specifically, we're looking at Steven Spielberg's West Side Story, which is up for 7 awards, including Best Picture and Best Director, among others, and also the film adaptation of the Jonathan Larson musical Tick, Tick, Boom, which is up for Best Actor in a Leading Role for Andrew Garfield. I will also give a special mention to Encanto, which is up for Best Animated Feature Film, as it is very musical-oriented, with original songs from Hamilton creator Lin-Manuel Miranda, the man who, incidentally, also directed Tick, Tick, Boom. But I'm sure we'll come on to that later. I will also drop a link into the post if you want to check out all of the nominations across all the films and all of the award categories, because unsurprisingly, we're only going to be focusing on the more musical ones tonight. But look, I can talk until the cows come home about musicals and theatre and stuff like that, but I will hold my hands up and say there is plenty that I don't know about film. And so because of that, I've invited along a very special guest to join me for this episode of Spotlight On, Lizzie Alblas from URN's The Film Show. And I guess the first question has to be, as a film fan, how are you feeling about the Oscars this year? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I think so. I think the discourse around the Oscars has become quite interesting recently. But overall, I'm excited to see who wins, especially in such a varied Best Picture race. I'm really excited to see who wins.
Yeah, because there's loads up for Best Picture this year.
Yeah, there's 10. 10? Yeah, 10. 10.
Have you seen them all?
I have seen 8 of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, you have seen the one that I particularly care about, which is West Side Story.
Yeah, I have.
I mean, we will get to West Side Story properly and give it all that it deserves. But I guess one of the things that I would like to ask you about, and I say this as someone who is a fan of theatre, I am coming at the Oscars as someone who enjoys watching things, but specifically who enjoys watching things on stage. And so for me, it's been really, really nice to see movie musicals doing well. I mean, obviously, 2021 is the year of movie musicals. Some are better than others. I think we will draw a line under that. But the ones that are doing well are doing really, really well. I mean, West Side Story is the front runner for some of the awards that it's nominated for. From your perspective, are you happy that movie musicals have been doing well and that there is this variety? Or are you slightly more of a purist where it's like, film should be film and that's what we should be awarding?
I don't mind films like movie musicals being made, because I can understand that there's a sort of reason for it. Like, there is the context of, you know, some theatre shows are really expensive or they're in different countries and people won't get to see them. So sometimes making a film is, you know, performances to people across different nations and different class disparities and all things like that. So I'm quite happy with the concept of a movie musical. It just depends on if they, I feel like a lot of movie musicals don't necessarily understand what it is to be a film. Like, sometimes you can watch a movie musical, like say something like, I think The Greatest Showman is guilty of this. And certainly Dear Evan Hansen. You sometimes get the idea of like, they understand they have a camera, but it's very much like, we're just going to point it at something and shoot it in the blandest way possible. And it's really frustrating because I want people to lean in more to actually understanding that they have the medium of film to work in now. And so I don't feel like I'm a film purist in like, oh no, only films should win, because that's a bit, that gets into weird questions like, well, what makes a film? And, you know, is a Shakespeare adaptation a film? And is something that was a play a film? Like, I don't think that that's really something you need to get into too much. So what is film purism is another question, I suppose. But yeah, I'm relatively, if they're well made, like something like West Side Story is, like that's made really, really well, then I'm very happy to see it among other maybe more traditional quote unquote films.
No, well, you've mentioned West Side Story, and I do think it's, you know, such a good example of this, because it is a film that embraces both the movie side of things and the musical side of things, and it feels like it's blended really, really well together. And, you know, it hasn't been out for very long, and I think it's already been accepted. This version by Steven Spielberg is probably one of the greatest movie musicals that's ever been made. You know, it's gone straight up on the sort of the pantheon list with all the golden age musicals, and it is so visually spectacular. And I mean, we can see it at the Oscars. It's up for 7 awards, including Best Actress in a Supporting Role for Ariana DeBose as Anita, Best Directing for Steven Spielberg himself, Best Cinematography for Spielberg's longtime partner Janusz Kaminski, Best Costume Design, Best Production Design, Best Sound, and then the all important Best Picture. So I guess the question is, what do you think its chances are like?
I think they're really quite good. I really, really do. I certainly think Ariana DeBose is like in the bag. Like I really, really do, as supporting actress. She's up against some really, really fantastic performances from the likes of Kirsten Dunst in Power of the Dog and Jessie Buckley in The Lost Daughter. But I just think that Ariana DeBose has this like certain X factor that you just can't really put your finger on. And even though the other performances are fantastic, like emotionally, technically, there's just something extra that Ariana is bringing. And I do think she could win that. I also think it's a good story because, of course, Rita Moreno got her Oscar for playing Anita in the 1961 original film. So I think that's got some nice symmetry to it. And I think the Oscars do love a good story. So I think that's, I do. So I think that's quite quite plausible that she'll win, pretty in the bag. In terms of Best Picture, I don't know. I think it could, like when I saw it, I was like, this could easily do it and I'd be fine with it. Like, I'd be so happy if this won. The Power of the Dog by Jane Campion, that's been a front runner for quite a long time. And then in the past week or so, Coda has just come out of kind of nowhere. And so, well, not nowhere, it's a good film, but it's sort of suddenly come out as the front runner. So I really can't call how Best Picture is going to go this year at all. I think it's a really strong film, West Side Story, but at the end of the day, I just don't know if it will get that or not.
Because one of the things that I saw going around on social media recently is the fact that, like, Steven Spielberg, to put it bluntly, he's made some good films in his time. He's a good person within the sort of the cinema world. And there's this sense, I think, among theatre fans that it's like West Side Story has become one of the greatest movie musicals that there's ever been. I mean, we love the original, but this version just sort of takes it to a whole new level. And it is objectively, you know, technically, stylistically, in terms of the way it's put together, it's one of Spielberg's best films, I would say. Do you think there's kind of a sense of people sleeping on it still a bit because it's a movie musical?
I feel like I haven't spoken to enough people to know.
I'm disappointed you haven't conducted a survey ahead of this, Lizzie.
A survey for this. I don't know, because it could be. I think it got slept on certainly before it came onto Disney Plus, which is how I watched it. And I think that's just, there's a whole discourse at the minute about why people go to the cinema and what they're going to see. And that's based on both the pandemic and the risk of going to a place with strangers currently, and also financial things like, you know, cost of living going up. And, you know, when people have spare money, it's like, what do they spend it on? And is, if they're going to pick a movie at the cinema, which one will they pick it for? So I think West Side Story wasn't one of the films people would pick it for if they were in that position necessarily, especially not if it came out around like when Spider-Man was out, which I think it did.
Yeah, it was so, like the week or so before.
Yeah, it's a big topic at the minute in the film industry that I'm not gonna go into massively, but I think it did get slapped on while it was in cinemas because of that reason. And then I think since it coming to Disney Plus, it's picked up quite a lot. I don't know, though. I think maybe in terms of like film fans, maybe who are a bit more like quote unquote purist, whatever you want to call that, they maybe aren't prioritizing watching it over, you know, the likes of, I would say, like, you know, Licorice Pizza, which is the new Paul Thomas Anderson film, which is also up for Best Picture, or Catching Nightmare Alley, which is Guillermo del Toro's entry. But again, you know, it's Spielberg, so I do feel like it should have enough of a draw. So it sounds awful to say, but the only thing I could reason with it not being a draw would it be being a musical and people who think, oh, I don't like this, and they are quite wrong, I would say, because I really loved this film.
I thought it was excellent. Because I did watch it with you, and I feel very proud of theatre. And I think this idea that, you know, theatre should look and sound a particular way is very outdated. The stuff that we have available to us nowadays is so diverse. I will stand on the hill and say that musical theatre is one of the most diverse music industries in the world at the moment. And the idea that it's like it's this old-fashioned, quaint jazz hand sort of thing is so wrong and so unfounded. And I'm really pleased that films like West Side Story, which is based on an old show, you know, the musical is from 1957, the original film is from 1961, things like that are bringing it to a modern audience, and it still feels very nostalgic. And yet also simultaneously feels really fresh and modern. And I mean, it is visually spectacular. I remember watching it with you and watching you see, like, you know, people who understand color theory and how to compose a shot and the actual film things that have gone into it that I think actually put it, you know, heads above other movie musicals that we've seen particularly recently, but for years. It's an incredible movie musical, isn't it?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I'm also like a sucker for colour theory, so I'm really glad to point that out, because it's like such a weakness of mine. But that's the kind of technical stuff that you see in a Best Picture. Like that colour theory, for example, is something that's really prevalent in like Nightmare Alley, which is another Best Picture runner. And certainly, you know, extremely well-composed shots is, again, it's, you know, the technical aspects that people, you know, really look out for it, something like the Oscars. And they're just things that when you watch, they're really satisfying, and they don't feel like they're kind of hitting you over the head with it or anything like that. But it's just like everything feels very seamless and together.
Yeah.
And you don't always know why. You just feel like, oh, I'm comfortable. I'm watching something made by someone who really understands what they're doing. Mm. And that was 100% what I thought. I mean, basically within the first opening 2 to 5 minutes of West Side Story, where they have these opening shots of the, you know, the neighborhood that's kind of being demolished and all this kind of stuff, while they're also at the same time filtering in some of the musical score, which was great because it was good to marry the concept of film and a musical score together quite early on, which is not something some of the movie musicals have done well. Looking at you, dear Evan Hansen. And so it was nice to feel like they understood what they were blending together, having the movie musical, well, the musical and the film, and putting it together seamlessly, rather than being like, oh, we have a camera and we're going to point it at stuff.
Yeah.
It was really, really technically brilliant.
Because the way I've described it to multiple people, and I think on Showtime and on previous Spotlight On episodes, is that West Side Story is the movie musical you get when a filmmaker makes a movie musical. On the flip side, and I want to bring it up, Tick, Tick, Boom is the movie musical you get when a theatre maker makes a movie musical. Now, I love Tick, Tick, Boom. I think it was sort of the closest that we'd come in terms of movie musicals to something like Chicago, which won Best Picture back in 2002. It's a movie musical that only works as a film because of the conceit, because of the way it's set up, where there's sort of like a show happening within the story, if that kind of makes sense. And, you know, it is nominated for two Oscars. There's Best Film Editing and then Best Actor in a Leading Role for Andrew Garfield as Jonathan Larson. I love Tick, Tick, Boom. I don't think it's anywhere near as good a film as West Side Story. And I would love to just get your opinion as a film person on that, Lizzie.
Yeah, I agree. I do think Tick, Tick, Boom is one of the better movie musicals we've seen this year. I do think again, it's like they understand that they have a camera in Tick, Tick, Boom. And I liked that because they, you know, they had sort of fun with like going for like handheld shots and, you know, or things that feel like they're on a home video camera, or the one sequence that's made like a music video and stuff like that. There's things like that that are really clever, and they've understood like, oh, we have a slightly different visual medium. That means we can do different things. And I did really appreciate that. But in terms of like technical aspects, color theory, stuff like that, it doesn't hold up in those categories as well as something like West Side Story does. And you don't always need those things to make a good movie. Like, I'm not saying your movie's bad if you don't have color theory or anything like that.
But it's satisfying when you sort of, you see it enough that you don't really notice it, because it's just there and it's built into the film. And I will say, it is worthwhile mentioning that Tick, Tick, Boom was directed by Hamilton creator Lin-Manuel Miranda. It was his directorial debut. So the fact that it has actually resonated so well with a lot of people, I think, is very, very impressive. It felt like an impressive first go. And I know that he's talked before about the fact that one of the reasons he so desperately wanted to be in Mary Poppins Returns, which came out a few years ago, was because that was being directed by Rob Marshall, who did the film version of Chicago. And he was like, I really wanted to learn from someone like Rob Marshall. And I think those elements are there in Tick, Tick, Boom, in terms of the way it leans into this kind of theatrical suspension of disbelief at times. And it's really nice to see that being conveyed through film. I can totally appreciate why Lin himself hasn't been nominated as a director, but I feel like it's a good starting point for future movie musical projects. We'll see. What I can say is that Andrew Garfield has been nominated for Best Actor in a Leading Role for playing Jonathan Larson. Do you think he's got any chance at all, Lizzie?
No. But that's not just like his performance is really great. I think at the minute, I mean, that category is, you know, you've got, you know, Will Smith for King Richard, you've got Benedict Cumberbatch for The Power of the Dog, you've got Javier Bardem for being the Ricardos, and you have got Denzel Washington for The Tragedy of Macbeth. That's his like his competition. And I think out of all five of them, it's become roughly a two-horse race, where it's definitely now, I think, between Will Smith and Benedict Cumberbatch. And I do think Will Smith is probably going to get it, mostly because I think a lot of people think it's his time. And, you know, he's had Oscar nominations before. The role of Richard Williams in King Richard is really suited to him. And so it sort of feels like in many ways, Andrew Garfield just is kind of there also. He's still really good. He's great, but he's just not getting the love, the attention. And I think that, again, the Oscars loves a good story, the narrative arc that Will Smith will have, you know, if he wins. And at the same time, talking about those kind of two front runners, I know this isn't a film show, so I won't bang on about it, but, you know, there are a lot of very technical and nuanced and emotional aspects to the performances of Will Smith and Benedict Cumberbatch that I don't think were in the Andrew Garfield one. But I just don't think the movie called for the same level of, it's just how the stories work. It isn't the same kind of story in many ways. But that said, it really depends on how you view a performance and what makes a good performance. You know, like technical and emotional aspects are one thing, but then, you know, Andrew Garfield also like picked up singing and like, you know, a load of other technical skills. And so he's still done a lot that's really amazing. And you know, I always think that you can have skills and people can say that's amazing, but it is how you apply the skills that really either makes or breaks the performance. And I still think Andrew Garfield is great, but I just think against his competition, he probably isn't going to get it this time. But I hope that like another opportunity will come around and he'll be nominated again and he will get it. I'm quite confident that will happen in the future. Don't let me down, Andrew, now I've said this. I'm sure you're listening.
We will take it as a personal slight if Andrew Garfield doesn't get another Oscar nomination in the future. See, that's the thing. It's like I loved his performance as Jonathan Larson. I think the way he captured Jonathan Larson as a character, his mannerisms, that he spoken himself in interviews about the fact that he felt really close to Jonathan, you know, is just becoming part of his life. And I'm so, so pleased that he's got the Oscar nomination. And, you know, in my heart of hearts, I'm a theatre fan. I'm really rooting for him to win it if he can. I understand that he probably won't, given the competition. But I think it puts him in really good stead. And I think it also, for me, harkens back to when he's won things like, you know, he won a Tony Award for Angels in America. And it feels like he brought that kind of acting to film, which is a theatre fan, it was great to see. So the fact that it's even been Oscar nominated, I mean, I will rest happy in that. Off the back of Tick, Tick, Boom, which was directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, he himself is nominated for Best Original Song for Dos Orguitas from Encanto, which is the latest Disney film. It's not really a movie musical in the traditional sense, but I feel like maybe we should give it a mention because I think the music is really lovely. And I think when you've got Lin-Manuel Miranda writing the music, you can expect good things. It really had that kind of Latin American vibe, which was nice to see. I think he does that really, really well. I think he's going for the EGOT. Certainly he's trying to get the Oscar at some point, if not for directing, then for a song for Encanto. Again, any chance of it, Lizzie?
Potentially. I mean, well, I don't know, because it's sort of funny that that's been the one from Encanto that's come forward, because of course everybody loves We Don't Talk About Bruno, but I just think they didn't put it forward in time for people to know how much it was going to blow up.
This is it, because I was reading about it, because obviously We Don't Talk About Bruno, absolute banger. I think we can accept that. And it is going to be performed at the Oscars, despite the fact it's not nominated. It got to number one around the world. And so I was reading about it, and it basically came down to the film hadn't come out by the time they needed to have submissions in for the Oscars. And so they were like, which is the one that would do best with Oscar voting panels? And they put that one in. And I think that's a fair shout. We've seen time and time again that what resonates with the fans and the general public is not necessarily what does well at the Oscars. And I, as much as I love We Don't Talk About Bruno, and I think it's a brilliant sort of musical theatre composition, I don't know if it would resonate as much as this. What is Dos Orguitas, which is just a genuinely really lovely, emotional, poignant song. What else is it up against in that category?
So it is up against No Time to Die, which is by Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell. It's also up against To Be Alive by Beyoncé, which is from King Richard, which was very good. And I do think that could... I mean, everyone loves a Beyoncé track at the Oscars, to be honest. So she could easily do it. It is also apparently against Down to Joy from Belfast, which is music and lyrics by Van Morrison. I didn't know about that at all. And the other one seems to be Somehow You Do from Four Good Days, which I have never heard of. So,
imagine if that's the one that now wins.
Yeah, it could be.
Like true underdog moment where it's like, you know, good for you, but we don't know it.
Yeah, I don't even know the film it's from. I know nothing about that. So I mean, of the ones that I do know, I think the biggest competition is going to be Alive and No Time to Die. I mean, everyone loves No Time to Die a lot. So
it sort of feels weird that No Time to Die is only just being nominated now, because I remember Billie Eilish performing it, I think at the Brits maybe, you know, back before COVID happened. And so the fact that it's only just getting nominated now feels like, what, this is a really old song, what are you doing?
I know, it's ridiculous. It's because they delayed James Bond. There was a period of time where another thing about film is that the saving, you know, how are we going to save cinema in the pandemic? And for ages, Tenet was touted as the film that was going to save cinema. And when Tenet didn't save cinema, they were like, it's going to be No Time to Die that will save cinema. And they just kind of kept pushing and pushing back James Bond to get enough people, you know, into seats, you know, with different, you know, once the waves from COVID had kind of died down a little bit. I don't know if they were successful, but it has been around for ages. So it is really funny that it's just out now. What a fun thing the pandemic's done.
Well, I guess that's the other thing with this particular Oscar ceremony is that, like, I know there was one last year, but does it slightly feel like this is the one that's getting back to normal for the film industry?
I think so. It does feel like they're kind of getting back to normal in terms of, yeah, making more of a fuss about it. And, you know, kind of we're back sort of on a more normal Oscar time of year. Like, I think last year's was pushed back a bit to like April or something. So kind of February, March is normally when it happens. So it does sort of feel like it's slowly coming back properly on time and, you know, everything's lining up again. So, yeah, hopefully next year's will be even more normal.
Okay, so one last question. I'm going to put you on the spot. I think we can all predict my answer, but if you had to call Best Picture, what are you going for?
At this point, Coda, just because of the news and the buzz. Power of the Dog has been the front runner for so long, and that's kind of the one in my heart I want to win, but I'd also be very happy with Coda. I'd be happy with West Side Story. At this point, I'll laugh if it's just not one of those three. If it's something rogue like Nightmare Alley, I'll be like really happy because I really enjoyed it. I'll be like, you had nothing, you know, no buzz or anything about you, you know. But yeah, good for you. It could be anything, but I reckon it'll be between Power of the Dog and Coda at this point.
Well, I look forward to seeing the results. I look forward to it being all musical theatre dominance. I'm putting it out into the universe. Let's have it come back to me. yeah, I think there's a lot of good films that are nominated. And I think the only one that I really have my heart set on is Ariana DeBose getting Best Supporting Actress. I think I will legitimately be very upset if that doesn't happen. So again, universe, if you can put the odds in our favour, please. Everything's crossed. Right, well, thank you so much for joining me, Lizzie. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you and to pick your brain as a film expert to my theatre connoisseur. I'm really happy that we've got a blend of stuff at the Oscars this year, and it'll be really interesting to see where it goes. If we want to find out more about films and hear more of your lovely dulcet tones, where can we find you?
So you can find us. We are The Film Show at URN. We are on Twitter at URN_Film Show for both Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, thanks really much for having me. It's been great.
No problem at all. It's been really good fun, and you know, nice to hear somebody else talk about their passion and the thing that they're interested in, and get a slightly different perspective on the stuff that I enjoy watching. If you want to hear more from Lizzie and from the rest of the team at The Film Show, you can catch them live on urn1350.net every Wednesday evening between 6 and 7pm. And please also join me in wishing the best of luck to all the nominees at the Oscars tonight. As I said, I'm personally still keeping my fingers crossed for all of the musical representation, though I think Ariana DeBose for Best Supporting Actress is the one that I'm really staking my claim on. As we said, she's already won so much for that part already, and it'll be a really nice full circle moment to have this modern day version of Anita win the very same award that the original film version of Anita won back in 1962. So fingers crossed for that. Either way, I'm really looking forward to finding out the results later. The actual ceremony will be starting about 1 a.m. tonight, so it's probably something we're going to be catching up with tomorrow during the day, but definitely one to watch out for. And on that note, I will say goodbye for this week. Of course, I'll be back again next Sunday evening, first with Showtime at 6 p.m. live on urn1350.net, where, to keep in with the awards theme, we'll be doing our Olivier special. So join me then to find out more about this year's nominated musicals. And then, of course, I'll be here straight after that with a brand new episode of Spotlight On to let you know exactly what's going on in the world of musical theatre. Because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.